Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We also meet on the second and fourth Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. for Bible study, prayer, and fellowship. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
If you're not standing, stand with us. We're going to read the Word of God, Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. We're going to talk about Joseph. Last week, Pastor Paul talked about Mary and her decisions she had to make. I want to talk to you about one of the most unsung heroes of the New Testament, of the Bible, a man called Joseph. And I think you're going to find some things that will parallel your life as well as challenge your life. We find this in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. Please read the responding verses. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took him his wife. Verse 25 together. And he did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and they called his name Jesus. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus. I love saying the name of Jesus because there's power in that name. Lord, we just proclaim today that we're going to learn a little bit more about what life is like. Even at times when we feel like we've been ambushed by situations and circumstances that we didn't really ask for. Lord, help us to look into the life of Joseph and just leave this place edified, built up, and strengthened to know that there's things that you will require of us that we may not understand at first. But today, Lord, is a day of salvation for some. It's an awakening of the hearts of others that they may come and find the full will of God for them. Holy Spirit, speak to us, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus and all God's people said. Amen. You may be seated. Well, it may somewhat surprise you with the little amount of knowledge of Scripture and press given to Joseph. There's much to be learned about him, both in the practical and the spiritual wisdom. Joseph, I'm not trying to deify him by any means, but I will tell you this much. That was so much historically said about Mary and her willingness to give birth to the Son of God. Much can be gained when we take a closer look at a man with an assignment that relied on the Holy Spirit to give him courage to embrace. I don't know if any of you would ever think of it in this particular realm, but when you take the statistics of this story or the facts of this particular story and you just kind of put them out on the table, would you have done? Would you even been open to do what Joseph did? Here's my questions for you. I want to move right into the message today. Number one, have you ever been asked to do something that defied all logic and explanation? You can vote on this. Have you ever been asked to do that? Go ahead and vote. It's okay to vote today. The rest of you, I don't know where you've been, what planet you've been living on. But I think there's oftentimes we've been asked to do something we just don't really quite understand. And it doesn't make any sense. Especially when you're a kid and your parents ask you to do something. What does that have to do with anything? You know, or even a teacher when you're in grade school just said, you need to do this. And I said, really? Come on. Let's move on. Number two, have you ever found yourself committed to the will of God for your life that you believe others will not understand? I had lunch with a dear, dear friend this last week, and he and his wife were involved in missions, were involved with a well-known organization. And when they accepted a call from the Lord to do this, you know, family members didn't understand, friends didn't understand. How are you going to leave everything, sell everything you have, and move off and do a mission type thing? Are you crazy at this time in your life? But you know what? God calls people who are willing to do his will even though you don't really understand it. Hence, we have Joseph. Let's look at number three. Does the thought of being misunderstood and ridiculed prevent you from following the word of the Lord for your life? I would venture to say there's a good percentage of you sitting in this audience today that the reason you're not following the will of God for your life because you're afraid of what people are going to say or how you're going to be treated. And if that's the thing that's holding you back, this message is for you. Well, let's pick that up. And Joseph, a man who honored his commitments. Verse 19 kind of opens this story for us. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away. He had a solution for a problem. Ever had a solution for a problem that God wasn't interested in? I got you. And God says, really? I don't need your help with this one? But that's my tendency, and I think it's yours too. They say, okay, God, everybody wins with this. But really, when we go with your solution, nobody wins. The devil wins. Because you're going contrary to what God has designed for you to do. Well, it opens up like this. You know, let me give you a little background about what he was facing. Jewish marriage took place in three stages. Stage number one was the contractual stage, which means this. Most marriages were arranged by their parents without consulting their children. Would that fly today? Probably not. But in light of the divorce rate, in the light of some of the choices you folks are making, I think we need to go back to the good old Bible days. Because that sister girl you done picked out, you saw at the mall, she ain't no good, okay? With her hip-popping, gum-popping self, no, 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 no. And the other one who doesn't have a job, who's laying on his mama's sofa all day long, and you think, oh, this is going to be my husband. You are crazy. And we can help you with that. Another story. And they grew up knowing who they were going to marry and did not question it. That sounds ridiculous. Let me move on to the next little phase of this. And so the espousal stage. Actually, we call that engagement. This lasted about a year. Some of your relationships don't last a week. You talk about it's going to last a year? You know, you want to marry them or do something before they get away. So that means they were told to learn to love each other. And I think we believe that, and I believe this, love is a choice. And it's a decision. It's a commitment. Falling in love is not an option. You can fall in love, you can fall out of love. Anytime you fall, you get hurt. Is that right? So let's forget about the falling thing. How about learning to? Once you begin to study it, and all of a sudden you realize, you know, I can give you some wisdom. I won't tell you where I got this from. Well, yes, I will. From one of my children. Yeah. And she was talking about relationships. And she said this to me. This has helped a lot of people. And she said this particular phrase. Just because you are in love with someone doesn't mean you have to marry them. What? Just because you're so emotionally distracted to the point where you feel like, I got to have him, I got to have her, otherwise my life will be complete. You know what? You will get over it. Trust me. But when you make a decision based upon God's principles to marry someone, it's a whole different story. Let me get on to number three. The espousal stage, they had lots of time together, but the idea behind that was to maintain purity till the actual marriage happened. Oh, would that fly today? Probably not. Everybody living together. This is my boyfriend. And we're engaged. We're going to get married in 2016. Seriously. We're in a hopeless state of like. And we're processing this. And that's when she graduates from nursing school, and that's when I got all this stuff. And then we're going to get married, and we're going to glorify God. You are some kind of crazy person. Because this is the principle that's set here. The spousal stage, they were to be able to get to know each other, but they were going to maintain purity. Now, let me tell you about how the wedding worked. All right, now you get married. So you finally get married. You think, perfect. What happens is the marriage day, it's a seven-day feast. For 7 days, you have this feast. And at the end of the feast is when you finally consummate the marriage. You're thinking, really? This 7 days of partying? And finally, you know, you get the prize or whatever. It wouldn't fly. Well, now we got all past that. Well, Joseph was a spouse, but not married to Mary. And his world had to be rocked when Mary told him she was pregnant. Can you imagine how that would go over? Joseph, I need to tell you something. I had the visitation of an angel, and the angel told me that I'm going to get pregnant and bear the Son of God. Would you believe it? Well, besides the belief part, your emotions will take a crash dive to the earth. Because all you envisioned, all you knew about marriage, about the courtship, about the whole thing, how it's supposed to look, it is now just thrown on the ash heap. Your heart is racing. Your pulse is just going out of control. You're looking at this girl, and she's probably saying this with all humility and this type of thing. You think, what do I do? I want to unpack this a little bit more. Processing the fact of the story that she told him about an angel was a lot for him to bear. But it gets a little more complex. But being a man of integrity, he was not willing to lie and say, in order for things to work, let's just say that you and I messed up, and I'll take the hit. He was such a man of integrity, he wasn't going to lie to make it better. I'm not going to ask you if you ever lied to make it better, because I want to tell you, the lie don't make it better. A lie is a lie. So then there's another quandary we got to face here. If he accused Mary of being unfaithful, they would stone her. See, folks, I've read through this story so many times, but when I stopped to analyze, oh my goodness, what's at stake here is the fact he can't lie about saying, well, it's really my child when it wasn't. And then if he says it, well, she's just been sleeping around and, you know, this type of thing, then they would kill her. Well, I think I've got your attention now. We're going to see some things about life. Joseph's character comes through rather strongly. First of all, according to what we can see in Scripture, he was kind of a quiet guy. Secondly, I can see the thing that emerges through the front of the stage is he's a humble guy. He's not willing to take advantage of someone else's misfortune if that was the case. But he's trying to find a way to make this thing not only better for Mary, but to better the whole situation. And so the idea behind it is the word just says that, you know, that you know, he didn't want to make a public example. Or he says, so what do I do? Now, can I take you into what I believe was his processing center? After he heard this message from Mary, he went to his house, and he went home and he tried to sleep. I don't think he slept that well. Would you have? I think he probably tossed and turned, and just like anything, when you have a very difficult thing that happens, it goes over your mind over and over and over again. Anybody identify with that? You just can't let go of it. It cycles through your mind over and over and over again. And so the process of this happening is pretty difficult. So, but the thing I got to tell you about him, in the midst of all of his cycling, he was available to listen to God. You may be going through something very difficult today, but I will ask you to do one thing, or ask you one thing that you could consider. Be available to listen to God, because he's got a message for you in the midst of all your turmoil. In the midst of all your stuff, in the midst of all the stuff that doesn't make sense, God's got a message for you, but you got to wait and stop and believe that God can speak to you, and he can do it supernaturally. Well, he's willing to endure, in the midst of it, hardship. The hardship of losing the love of his life that he thought may happen by saying, you know, let's just forget about this. And you go visit Aunt Lizzie for the next 9 months. And we'll call it good. Well, he's confronting disappointment. He trusts the plan of God over his own plan, but only after he has this visitation from an angel. But here's the other thing I love about it. You're going to find out later on. He's a provider of people. He's a protector of people. He responds to God's plan, when God's only thing he's saying to him is, you're going to have to trust me with this one, because this one has never been done before. May I say this into somebody's spirit today? Something God has told you, as near as you know, nobody else has been told this or been asked to do this, but God has especially picked you out because he sees something in you that has the quality of obedience that can fulfill his will if you're willing to trust what he told you to do. Wow. Sometimes we wait for everyone to validate our feelings or validate what we've heard or validate what we think or what we're feeling. But you know what? God says, if it can't be just between you and me, it's not going to work. So, he had to overcome his fear of his known world having collapsed. Verse 20 says this, but while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. One thing I love nowadays, more people are talking about the Holy Spirit and the role that he plays in our lives every day. And it's not just church folks, it's people that are out in the world, I would say, that don't have a total readout on the Holy Spirit. But they realize there's a spirit that is so much greater than ours that belongs in the trifecta or the triunity of the Godhead, that he does speak to people. Matter of fact, before you leave here, he will speak to you. So what does that mean? Well, it simply means this. That he had to win the debate between law and love. Maybe you're in that arena today. Some of you have kept the right things by the law of what you're told. Thou shalt not do this and thou shalt do that. But that's off the table right now. The law says that he had his rights to say, you know, I don't want to be a part of this. But his love for Mary and his love for God says, you know, since if this is indeed of the Holy Spirit, I'm not going to abandon Mary and go my own way. I'm going to do what God says. That's where love comes into the picture. The law says you're free to go. You're free to, you know, dismiss yourself in this situation. But God says it's a little bit better than that. Second thing is, he wrestled between conviction and compassion. How would you want to be treated? Today, before you come to any conclusions, there's conviction, but there's also compassion. Of what must Mary be going through? And can I be the husband that she needs? And can I be willing to walk through this whole thing with her? God is going to cause us and some of you to walk with other people that other folks will not want to walk with them, to walk with them through some very difficult situations. My question is, are you willing to do that? Are you willing to allow the compassion of God, even though other people may not understand it, for you to be identified with them? And because I'll tell you what, regardless of how they told the story, there were some people in the village, a matter of fact, a lot of people that did not believe Mary's story about the angel and about being, you know, this being conceived of the Holy Spirit. Are you willing to take on the identity of that person of being disbelieved for the offense of this type of thing where people are going to be offended and say, really, you believe that? Really, you believe in God? I want to tell you something. I will help you. If you struggle with the virgin birth, then forget about about Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. If you cannot deal with Mary, forget about Genesis 1:1. Because it starts off with Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. If you're still struggling with that one, you'll never make it to Mary's thing. But if you believe that the same God that said, you know, let there be light, and there was light, then I believe that you can believe in the God that said to her, you know what? What's going to be conceived in you is conceived of the Holy Spirit, and you're going to bring forth the Son of God, and he will be called the Wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father, all of those things. If you choose to believe what I'm going to do, God wants to do something in you that's so far beyond your imagination. And you got to be rock solid. He's going to do it the way that he chooses to be the best. Well, he contemplated doing the right thing in private and sparing her the embarrassment, but somehow the Holy Spirit won him over. Here's the next thing. Joseph was torn by fear of what could happen. God will send us a message via the Holy Spirit when we are wrestling, trying to figure out what to do. Let me go back with a wrestling match that some of you are going through right now. You're sitting in here and you've got bits and pieces of my message, but you're wrestling with something that's going on in your life. Could be finances, could be Christmas dinner, could be a new recipe. I don't know what you're doing. But I know I'm smart enough to figure it out. You have not been with me through the whole process. I'm not mad at you. I'm just letting you know, because there are other things that will intervene into our life that will take us on these little side trips. But I want you, everybody, come back to where I am right now. I'm about to tell you something that's very important. God will send us confirmation of the right thing to do. He's sending you confirmation today of the right thing to do in the situation that affects you the most right now. Really? Amen. When you ask God a question, he doesn't say, well, let's see how long you can hang on. Are you really serious about this? I'll get back to you when I really... God isn't that way. We must choose to believe the word of God over the fears within that cannot be explained. What appears to be betrayal, because that thought never left his mind. And so he's tossing and turning, goes to bed that night. In the midst of this, the Bible says that the Lord chose to talk to him through a dream. Now, let me put a little something on this. Every dream you have is not from God. Listen to me carefully. Every vision that you have is not from God. I had a dream last night, and I dreamed I won the lottery. That's the devil. Let me help you with that. Because you've already spent the money. You've been to the Bahamas and back. And it's not even true. But you know what I found out? That God will use whatever path that will give him complete access to where we're at. And so because he was probably tossing and turning and not able to sleep, all of a sudden he reached the place of the REM, you know, place in the sleep cycle, and the Holy Spirit shows up and says and begins to speak to him. He'll speak to you today. Well, here we go. He'll send it to you. And he will help you, and he'll send us the right confirmation. We have to choose to believe the word of God, and which we will overcome. When we are overcome with decisions to be made, the Lord will not abandon us. Now, here's what I believe was the clincher for this whole thing. Verse 23, it says, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated God with us. The Holy Spirit very likely brought scripture to his mind that put Joseph totally at ease. Because he began to process in the natural realm, behold a virgin. Oh, my wife's a virgin. Or my wife-to-be is a virgin. Well, she qualifies for that. And then the Bible says, then the scripture from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, put it up there on the screen. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. The Lord will give you a sign. The sign is she's a virgin and the Holy Spirit's going to conceive this. And you know what? In a moment's time, I don't know how he did it, but Joseph was able to process, Mary is the virgin. And I've been chosen to help Mary bring forth the Son of God. Now, maybe that's not how you process it, but that's how I'm processing it right now. The thing that's so miraculous about this, he was willing, he chose to bear the responsibility of being her husband, knowing that this doesn't really sound that great. But the Word of God must take precedence over everything you're experiencing in your life right now. The Word of God is the final authority of what's going to happen with you. And if the Word of God says it's going to happen in your life, it's going to happen. You have to be willing to receive that. So he goes on to say, and he was willing to bear the shame as if he and Mary had sinned. From that point on, he says, I don't care what folks believe. I don't care if they believe we slept together before we got married. I don't care. I'm willing to take the place to be her husband, to be the father of Jesus, to raise him up and to shepherd this child because God has given me this blessing to bestow upon the earth, and I'm going to do it. I want to erase the fear out of your mind, out of your heart, out of your spirit that says your life's going to be miserable because you follow the will of God. But rather the fact you will be blessed beyond measure if you're willing to do what God says do. So it's willing to be thought of as a fornicator. Oh, that's exciting. He's walking down the street with Mary and she's, you know, she's has a bump, baby bump. Anyway, yeah. Did you hear what they said? She's claiming that's the Holy Spirit. Really? You know, I met Joseph and him. They got together before. You know how it is. And well, we can kind of pretend with, how you doing, Joe? Hi, Mary. Have a nice day. Don't worry about being the subject of gossip when you're doing the will of God. Put your trust in your confidence in the Lord. Let me hurry on quickly because there's several other things I need to tell you. Jesus did the same thing for us when he took our shame to the cross, paying for them with his life. So if you're suffering shame right now because you've been obedient to God, Jesus already beat you to it. He took your shame, took you to the cross, and now you have salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen because that's what he did for you. Don't worry about the shame and all this other stuff you may be suffering right now. Well, Joseph was by her side all the way to Bethlehem, and he did what was right, no matter what the cost was. He lived and walked out his love for God and Mary in the face of criticism. He was committed to the will of God, even if it meant having a child being born in a stable. Well, that's lovely. But let's visit this thing. In Matthew chapter 2, this is a little bit past the stable scene. Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Matthew 2:13-14. Well, I'll read. I've got it right here. No, not a problem. Okay. We got it there? Okay. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word from Herod, who will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. I'm going past the whole manger scene for a purpose this morning. I want to tell you that Joseph's commitment wasn't just for the little lovely scene of, you know, away in a manger, no crib for... No, honey, it went beyond that. He was committed to the whole process of what it meant for Jesus to come. And at this particular time, he's a child, and so he's committed himself. He followed the instructions to protect Jesus and his mother. Now, isn't it interesting that angels seem to be appearing on the scene for him? That's pretty amazing. But still, I want to take you to this place. His life was completely submitted to the will of God, no matter what. And so now, the next instruction comes from this angel that says, okay, you've done phase one. Now let's go to phase two. You've brought Jesus onto the scene. Mary has birthed Jesus, but there's something contradictory going out there, and I need you to be obedient to, again, to interrupt your life, to interrupt what you're doing as far as your vocation is, and to move the baby and the child away from what's familiar to a place called Egypt. Has God ever called you to move from what's familiar to what you really don't know? Some of you aren't willing to go anywhere. There's a little song where you say, Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. That's a lie. You ain't going nowhere. That's a bold-faced lie. Just don't send me to Kansas. I'll be fine, Jesus. Well, Joseph modeled servanthood by choosing to do what was best for his family. Men, listen up right now. You are commissioned today and forever to always, under the will of God, do what's best for your family. I heard one lady say amen. Did you hear what I said? Men, are you out there? You have been committed to do what's best for your family. Say amen. That was so spontaneous. Thank you, Jesus. The problem is that our culture does not teach that. Not anymore. Oh, no, you do what's best for your career, and if you have to be here and you have to be there, doesn't matter. But I want to tell you, it started in the Bible, and Joseph gave you a model for you to follow. Sometimes it's going to be inconvenient, it's going to be difficult, but when you are shepherding and you're fulfilling what the Holy Spirit has to do and what is righteous for that sake, you'll do make whatever adjustments are necessary to fulfill the will of God. Somebody say amen again, because that's the right thing to do. And so Joseph said, and so angel says, hey, pick up everything, move. You have precious cargo. We're not willing to make those sacrifices at times. So he took the matter of raising the Son of God very seriously, and he put his own wants and needs last and modeled that before his son Jesus. I have a few more things I'm going to say, and then I'm going to quit for today. Jesus willingly took on the identity of his earthly father. I don't think you really found that before. Let's go into Matthew chapter 13, verse 55. Let's look what it looks like. Matthew 13, verse 55. Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brother, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Why did I pick out that scripture? To help you, and also to help me understand and comprehend what's going on here. That Jesus allows it to be written that he's the son of a carpenter. Jesus is not embarrassed to identify with who you are. Did that get to you? If you've been struggling all through your life to try to be something, someone that Jesus could be proud of, I want to let you know, if you're doing the Father's will right now, Jesus identifies with you where you are, what you're doing right now. If you feel you got to do that, get a PhD or whatever it happens to be, or you got to get this particular job, or you got to be the head of a CEO of a country before God will actually identify with you, I want to let you know that's not true. He says, isn't this not the son of a carpenter? That Jesus identifies with our humanity to let us know that he's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and doing great things. So Joseph gave his son a respectable name and occupation. In the same way that we should, by the virtue of what we do in our life, whatever we do in the name of Jesus, it should be respectable and give Jesus a good name. And vice versa. Conclusively speaking, he mentored Jesus in carpentry. Now, that's one thing I haven't really quite figured out so much. You think that Jesus would be, in some particular be in the temple all the time. We'll get to that in a little bit. But Jesus learned how to be a carpenter. He said, why do you say that? Because that's the way society worked. Whatever your daddy did, that's what he taught you how to do. I mean, Jesus had a job. Yeah, and so should you. We're talking J-O-B, right? Okay? Not video game, job, J-O-B. You get up, go there every day, pay your rent, this type of thing. You don't sleep on mama's couch, okay? You follow me? Talk to you boys out there that need to be men. Well, let me get back to the text. He was part of a family that was well known and respected because of Joseph's impact on them. I'm going to go to one more place, and then I'm going to quit for the day because this is not going to all finish today. So let me tell you this. Joseph was willing to allow the Holy Spirit to move in the life of his son. Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 49. I'll just introduce this, and I'm going to quit for today. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. His parents went to when they had finished of the feast, did I get that right? Okay, yeah, now we got it. When they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So they did not find him, and they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why do you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" Now, I'm just going to close the thought. Worship team, you can come back up here because I'll finish this next week. There's a couple of things on this I think will be applying to all of us. Joseph had confidence and trust invested in Jesus. But beyond the confidence and the trust he had invested in Jesus, there's also a relationship between authority. And remember, Jesus is only 12 years old at the age of accountability as far as that's concerned. And so he's pretty much still under the auspices of his father. But yet still, he's got this anointing in his life. Now, the turn here, which I think is so important for us to really look at, is that Joseph and his mother are looking for Jesus. And then Mary, by virtue of what she says, "Don't you know your father and I have been looking for you?" Now, the reason why I'm calling your attention to that one particular place there, even though we know that Jesus' father was God, the role that Joseph played in his life was just not some transitional role where he's just kind of like a filler. He was deputized with the authority to actually shepherd Jesus' life. The verse that follows that, and he left what he was doing, even though it seemed like it was so wonderful and righteous, and he went home and was in submission to his father and mother. What can I tell you today that will help you help us to come to a conclusion about when our life is interrupted, when it's kind of just cast on the rocks, when we think that things aren't going to go well for us, that God hasn't done this to pull some trick or some strange thing on us, that he has purpose and design in everything that's ever happened in your life. You may not totally understand it now, but as we submitted to God, and I think as this thing just kind of unfolded, every time that Joseph was in a particular position where his life could have went in one direction, God could make an intervention here. He says, you know, take the family, move to Egypt. Go back to Jerusalem, hunt for Jesus, because, you know, he's not with you. Every single time, he made the right decision. As I close today, I want to ask you a question. Are you wandering in? Are you out of alignment with God because you're doing what you want instead of what God wants for your life? That's a yes or no question. Second is, what are you willing to do about it? Everybody bow your heads. Everybody do it. Everybody. Everybody. I don't know what you expected to hear this morning when you walked through these doors, but I will tell you this much. I believe the Holy Spirit has crafted this moment in your life. Sure, it's Christmas season, but it's more than that. It's about the idea and the reality that God brought you here today to make some major adjustments in your life as to what your future is going to look like. I'm going to pray in just a moment, and the Holy Spirit is going to point out to you some very specific things. Or maybe it's that one thing that you've been reluctant to really lay at Jesus' feet, saying, God, it doesn't matter anymore. I'm no longer, you know, desiring it to be my way. It's not my will. It's your will. This needs to be done. I feel the Holy Spirit so strongly today, just talking to some people, says, about some decisions that you have made or are about to make. But the Holy Spirit says, you know, if you want to have happiness and fulfillment, this is the way you need to go. Are you willing to let go of the emotion of what you thought your life was going to be like and go the route of what God says, this is what I have for you? Let me pray. Jesus, Lord, we struggle.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.